Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're really excited to have Bill and Carrie with us from Project Cantaloupe tonight.
Finally got some things together, and they're just hanging in the balance just for a moment. We'd like to welcome everybody to our show. We've got a lot of people in chat already. We've already got somebody on the call-in line, which is unusual, but we'll get to that. Well, I guess we've hung up. But if you want to call in tonight, we'd love to take your calls. We'll put the number in the chat room as well, but the number is there on your screen, 347-945-7799. You can also click on that button in your window that says click to talk if you have a headset on your computer, and that's a free call if you just do that online. So we'll get into that. Let me get into a little bit of an introduction for Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy. Bill Ryan has a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics and Physics and Psychology, and followed this with a brief stint in teaching for 27 years. He was a management consultant specializing in personal and team development, leadership training, and executive coaching. Gee, it sounds like what I do. We'll have to talk. Major long-term clients included BAE Systems Limited, formerly British Aerospace, Hewlett Packard, and PricewaterhouseCoopers. Carrie Lynn Cassidy is a BA in English with graduate work in sociology and MBA certificate from UCLA, Anderson Graduate School of Management, and was competitively selected to attend a year of film school at the UCLA Extension Short Fiction Film Program as one of their, I'm not even sure, hyphenates, a writer, director, producer. That's cool. After 19 years in Hollywood working for major studios and independent production companies in production development and new media, she's written a number of screenplays, acquired the movie rights to Wingmaker's Story in 2003, and started her own work on UFO documentary in 2005. Without any further ado, Bill and Carrie, welcome to Paranexus Universe.
It's a great pleasure to be here. And those long, complicated bios, what it really means in a single sentence is that for one, in one way or another, we've both been fairly well equipped to bring us to the point of what we're doing at the moment. It's and of course many of your listeners may have the same feeling that their lives have kind of stacked up like a pile of bricks and everything just focuses on what's happening just right now, and that's very much the feeling that we've got. Would you agree, Kerry?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's an exciting time to be alive.
Yeah, it's like that old Chinese proverb, maybe live in interesting times, or we certainly can say that we have lived in interesting times, there's no doubt about that, and hopefully they're going to become more interesting as time progresses.
Not too interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting stuff going on at the moment, you know, and I'm sure this is the kind of thing that we're going to be able to drill down into over the next couple of hours.
Don't know us. Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, if you could, for the folks in the audience that may not be as familiar with your wonderful website and the great work you do, if you could just maybe perhaps start out by telling us how you guys got together and how this became such a passion for both of you.
Kerry, after you.
Let's see. Basically, what happened was I was a frustrated writer, director. I was writing spec plays in Hollywood. I decided to take a quarter and go to a UFO conference and start interviewing people, thinking that this is really a fascinating subject. And because I had been investigating writing sci-fi screenplays, characters and so on, and that brought me to interviewing Bill, because he was representing the Serpo project at serpo.org, if you're interested, at the time, and that was back in 2006, and actually 2005 is when the Serpo started, project started, which was a secret exchange program with aliens and astronauts. That was, like I said, in 2005, and then in the Lachlan conference is where I interviewed Bill, and we just hit it off, and after that decided to meet up when I was on my way over from having gone to the solar eclipse in 2006 in Egypt, where I was part of the William Henry Jordan Maxwell group investigating Atlantis as part of a tour. And I stopped over in England. We went to Tintagel. We had a great time, and we created the idea of Camelot from there, and that's where the name came from as well. We decided that we wanted to carry on the idea of a better world, or a utopian world, if you will, and the round table. So that's where Project Camelot came along.
And the idea basically that we would follow the example that we respect and admire of Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project, that, as the listeners will know, was launched in the National Press Club in Washington, I think it was May 2001. And it became apparent to us in our own UFO research in the years following that there was a lot more that a lot of people could do in supporting the Disclosure Project in their vision, which was basically to take whistleblower witness testimony and provide a platform for that to be released to the world in such a way that the witnesses were at least to some degree safe and protected. And we claim nothing special here. We feel that an awful lot of people in this field, yourselves included, were working together as a team to try and break through the barrier of secrecy that's been built up ever since the late 1940s. As Kerry said, she just basically picked up a consumer-grade camcorder and started talking to people. And I joined her just a little bit over 2 years ago. We realized we had the same vision. And to cut a very long story short, we've had a very magical experience since then. We've had the experience, and forgive the metaphor, we just walked towards apparently blank walls, and the doors opened to welcome us into an incredible sort of wonderland of opportunity, talking to people who just a few short years ago, when I was reading UFO books in my spare time, I was thinking, you know what, I would give a huge amount of money to even be in the same room as some of these people. And here we are, we're very closely connected with a lot of them, and we're privileged to be collecting information that starts to make sense of this great cobweb of secrecy, which I was referring to just now. And we claim very little credit for anything that's happened. It seems to be happening around us. We're part of a larger team. There's a real, pardon my mixed metaphors here, there's a real snowball that's rolling. times are changing, the stories are coming out. We haven't been stopped in our work, which is significant. It's very significant. Given that the powers that be have got the capability to squash us like a bug if they wanted to, they have not done that, and we think that that is significant, because we do think the information that we presented is valuable, and we're in a position to present some of that, depending on what you and your listeners would like to focus on in the next couple of hours. But we're being permitted to do this, and we think that this may be helping the powers that be with the problem that they've got, which is how do they come clean with this huge, dirty pile of secrets that they're sitting on. For a whole variety of reasons, it's just got very, very, very complicated. And we started off just telling a few stories about UFO witnesses, Bill Hamilton, Gary McKinnon, the so-called Pentagon hacker, a guy who we had contacted privately who was in the extraordinary situation 20 years ago of being an archivist of classified information for 6 months, working in a vault with photographs and documents and artifacts and films. And he came forward to tell us what he had experienced. So we thought, wow, this is incredible. We've got a couple of witnesses here who are willing to say something on record. And since then, we've gone into time travel. We've got into what's happening with the possible potential catastrophe that we feel that has been averted in the years ahead.
Interesting.
Then we got into issues connected with, okay, what is going to be happening in the next few years? It's all very interesting talking about Roswell and the kind of mess that Eisenhower, who we feel was basically a good man, may have got himself into in the early 1950s, but there's a lot of historical information which is really interesting and not all that valuable unless we're still back in the so-called UFO dark ages when we're trying to prove that there's something going on. For us, this is self-evident that there are so many things going on out there that aren't reported in CNN. We're taking this as well as our starting point, that we have visitors, that there are secrets, that the U.S. military and the military of other countries is up to this in their necks and beyond, that there are really complicated issues involving visits from future humans, time travel, time loops, stuff connected with the Montauk Project. It's very, very complicated, very interesting, very important. And we're living in critical times right now. And as Grant said, I think these are interesting times. And one of the things that we find ourselves staring at almost in real time as we talk to you is information coming at us about the kind of things that may be happening literally in the next few weeks. And all of these things are connected. And with that, I'll step down from my little podium
where I've been
talking, and I'll allow you to steer this along, because it does need to be steered, because there's so much to say.
Grant, do you have a
question?
Yeah,
you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you, Bill, was, in your on your website, you talk about your thesis, and I thought that was really fascinating, and I wonder if you could kind of enlighten our audience, if you could give them your perspective on kind of what you think, or an overview of what you think is happening and what the consequences might be, because I think our audience may not be as familiar with it as I am, and I find it absolutely fascinating.
Okay. I will do my best, and the reason why I say that is because these are complicated concepts, and it's almost the kind of thing that's easier to present with a diagram rather than on live radio. But mm-hmm. Here we go. This is what we are reasonably convinced has happened. And it's a sort of variation of and an enlargement on what could be called conventional UFO understanding. So here we go.
Take a breath.
There is quite a lot of very deep breath. We are given to understand by two of our witnesses, who did not know each other, independent testimony, one of whom is Dan Burish, who is well known to the UFO community, who we know well, and who we are totally satisfied of his credentials, goodwill, and very high connections. And another guy whose pseudonym, who we gave him, is Henry Deacon, who has worked on the inside for a large number of years. We know this guy very, very well. And just as an aside on that, a couple of weeks ago, we started a forum called the Project Avalon Forum, not Project Camelot, but Project Avalon. The two are closely connected, and we'll talk about that in a little bit too. And Henry Deacon is very live on this forum. It's an almost unique situation where we've got a black ops whistleblower who's actually answering questions in real time on our forum. And we invite all your listeners to check into that. It's projectavalon.net. Click on the forum. Henry Deacon is right there. Now, what these two witnesses say is that the Roswell visitors were future humans from a future Earth. They were not extraterrestrials. They were extratemporals. And they differ slightly in the time period which they believe they came from. Dan Burish, from what I recall, says that he understands that they came from 24,000 years in the future. Henry Deacon says he thought it was more like 6,000 years in the future, but those details are really unimportant because this is such an important concept to get. And the thing is that this crash was a huge screw-up, if you'll excuse my French here, because it was not meant to have happened. And one of the things that was retrieved from the crash was a small device, which was a kind of, it was like a time portal, time guidance, time travel instrument, which is way beyond my capacity to describe in the English language. I wouldn't even know how to, I wouldn't even know what to call this thing. But the consequences of this was that the US military in 1947, they got their hands on a device that enabled them to be able to look into the future and manipulate time in various ways. And to create to make that complicated story short, what happened was that that then created a massive amount of confusion, because it's like giving a bunch of kids a whole bunch of dynamite and detonators.
Grant, say that again, please.
Said just the mere thought of it, Bill, is kind of scary. You know, the military tinkering with something like that in 1940s.
Yeah. They were tinkering around, as we're given to understand by both Burish and Deacon, they were tinkering around with this high-tech device in such a way that it started to create loops and paradoxes in time. And one of the issues that was prevalent there was that they discovered fairly early on, both from their own investigations using this device and also from contact with future humans from a different era, even further into the future, is that in the future humans' history, there was a major catastrophe in the year 2012, or around 2012. This is what the 2012 thing is all about. It's about an awareness that we have and a historical record from the future humans' point of view that from their historical perspective, there was a major catastrophe that was a huge civilization wipeout. It was a pole shift. And what happened then, once again, to make this long story very short, is that the US military do what they do best, and they started to dig in. They took defensive action, and they started to spend trillions of dollars on a whole network of underground bases. And interestingly enough, in the future human's history, this is exactly what was done. After the catastrophe, there was half of the human race stayed underground, half of the human race left the planet, first of all to Moon and Mars. They went off in different directions and evolved in slightly different ways. Now, the reason for this pole shift, so we're given to understand, was that a certain kind of time portal technology, which is known in the vernacular as looking glasses, man-made looking glasses and man-made stargates, which both use the same kind of technology. Stargates you travel through, looking glasses you look through, and you can look into time and you can look into space. And according to the future human's history, these devices amplified accidentally the effects of the Earth moving through a particular region of energetic space in and around the time of 2012. And this is what you read about all over the net, about the Earth moving into an area where it's parallel with the plane of the galaxy. Yeah. Something to do with that. This isn't just complete hokum, although there's a lot of hokum talked about it. There's a region of energetic space that the solar system starts to move through and is starting to move through. And in the future humans' timeline, these man-made looking glass and Stargate devices amplify these energetic effects, which is something to do with micro-wormholes in space, and cause the entire Earth to wobble, just like knocking over a bowl of soup in a restaurant, which created this huge wipeout. And we've got, although it's a paradox and we haven't kind of got there yet, the human race has got this sort of future perspective ancestral memory of this thing, that everyone's looking around thinking, my God, you know, we're in deep trouble, and what's this 2012 thing about, and people are talking about catastrophes and pole shifts. And it's almost impossible to find the right tense to use in the English language. It's like this did happen in the future. And the future humans came back and said, listen, we know why this happened, because it happened to us. If you decommission or dismantle these looking glasses and stargates, then this won't happen to you. And then this creates a new, different timeline. And we have been credibly assured by Dan Burish, who took part in a special project last year, 2007, to check out whether the decommissioning of the looking glasses and stargates had actually been effective. And his summary was that, yes, the catastrophe has been averted. This will not happen. But what they did see was a whole bunch of other stuff, which has been coming at us for the last 6 to 9 months, and this has focused our attention. And in this intelligence probe, it's a time portal intelligence probe into the future. The catastrophic future timeline, which they call Timeline 2, that apparently is very improbable now. That is, they are assured that this will not happen. What they did see on Timeline 1, which is the non-catastrophic timeline, and it's variant 83, which they saw, they had to call it something, and there are a number of variants, and this has all got to do with quantum probabilities. What they saw was that before the US election in 2008, and here we are now, there would be a war which would be launched that then would be inherited by the next administration, the president of whom would, or the president of which would be Hillary Clinton. And which is interesting, because this doesn't look to be the case. There would have to be a lot of strange events occur for this to be the case. So it looks as if that timeline has been broken. But for a long time, this was not certain. And the events on that variant 83 of Timeline 1 are not only a war against Iran, but an economic collapse, which is associated with that, and then an enormous mess, which is pretty bad news, and certainly something to be avoided if at all possible, that involves various nuclear exchanges, Pakistan, Russia, China, a whole bunch of nasty stuff. Not a civilization stopper, but certainly something that involves quite a lot of hard times for the next 18 months to 2 years. And ever since that news was discovered, as it were, various factions have been trying to avert this, because we do have free will and the future is not cast in stone. And the very first thing that happened after this was discovered was that Mike McConnell, who's a good guy, and he's the Director of National Intelligence, USDNI as he's called, he instructed his intelligence organizations to publish what is called the National Intelligence Estimate on the 3rd of December last year, which stated that Iran was not a threat. Now, that was not in the the timeline that was seen. So this was the first attempt to actually change things and to avert the war. And basically, ever since then, there's been a push-me-pull-you between the factions who actually want this war to happen because they're driven by all kinds of crazy Illuminati prophecies about end times and Armageddon, and they actually want this thing to happen. As Dan Beerish has said in the past, that because for so many years the politicians of the world have known what seems to be lying ahead based on this time portal information, they have just been actors following a script, just following what they kind of believe in a quasi-religious way is their destiny. And this is really alarming, because where this destiny goes is somewhere that doesn't look like particularly good news for the human race. Now, at this point, I'm going to take another deep breath, because I'm going to stop, and I'm going to allow Kerry to fill in all the gaps.
Okay.
We're all ears.
Gary, still with us?
Hi, yeah, I am. Actually, I'm not sure where you want to go at this point, so I'll let you ask the questions and let me try to answer.
Well, let's do this. We're getting close to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break in just a minute, and then we'll come back from the break and we'll pick it up where we left off, and that'll give us a chance to reset here a little bit. Before we go to our break, I just want to welcome everybody in the chat room and everybody who's listening. We're glad you could take your time and join us tonight. Very interesting discussion. A lot to come out of it yet. It just I think we're scratching the tip of the iceberg here. There's a lot of questions on this one. I appreciate that, so I appreciate you being in here. I do want to mention a couple of things. We just today announced the launch of the Paranexus Registry of Anomalous Events. It was in the newsletter. It's also linked off of paranexus.org. The URL for it is paranexus.net. And this is an exciting announcement because it's a database where people can submit reports of different anomalous issues, and it covers all of them. Parapsychology, ufology, cryptozoology, hauntings, you name it. And we can begin to build this database where we can actually search for things that are relevant, even across fields. If you want to know if there was a particular phenomenon in both the field of ufology and the field of parapsychology, you can search for both of those. So we're excited about that. We've been working hard, and we're looking to make people aware of it. So go there, check it out. Paranexus.net is the database. Paranexus.org is the main website. And we will hope to see you there. We're going to build that thing up. We're very excited to have Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassidy with us from Project Camelot. And we're going to pick up the discussion with them just as soon as we get back from the break. So hang with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Doug Kelly, founder of the Spirit Team. We perform professional paranormal research and investigations at no charge to you. If you are experiencing mysterious events in your home or business, please contact us. We maintain your privacy, and we won't think you're crazy. And if you're a paranormal researcher, we offer an accredited certification course that will enhance your knowledge of the paranormal field and raise credibility with your clients. For more information, please visit our website at spiritteam.org. That's spiritteam with one T, .org.
Is there a suppression of UFO and alien information by our government?
Does the soul continue on after we die?
Climb aboard the black ship of Paranormal Radio with your host, Captain Jack, on Contact Talk Radio and KRWM 106.9 FM HD3. Or visit WPRTRadio.com for more information.
Where will you find a professional association of paranormal researchers?
Paranexus.org.
Where can you get research training, share data, and network with other researchers?
Paranexus.org.
Where will you find a set of international standards for paranormal research groups?
Paranexus.org.
Paranexus is a global professional association of progressive paranormal investigators, parapsychologists, cryptozoologists, ufologists, and psychically gifted individuals focused on understanding the human condition through the scientific study of paranormal and psychical phenomena. And coming October 2008 to Tampa, Florida, the Paranexus Conference, a learning and networking event unlike any you've attended. Join us for two full days of innovative paranormal workshops. Participate in the Paranexus Challenge, where several teams will investigate a secret haunted location. Observe a live table tipping seance at the stroke of midnight. Join us for the Spirits and Shadows Costume Ball. See old friends, meet new friends, win prizes, and have fun.
Paranexus.org.
A place to learn, a place to share, a place to network, a place to come together. Join us now at Paranexus.org.
And welcome back, everybody. Doug Kelly here with Grant Rubendunst, and we are talking with Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot. Welcome back, Bill and Carrie.
Hi. Nice to be back. So this is Carrie, and just to recap for a second what we were talking about before the break, we were talking about how timeline 83, version 83, or variant 83, has been possibly changed. At this moment, the information we're getting is that actually the timeline is changing so rapidly that something that was planned and in the works for a few months ago may not be actually occurring the way people think it will. And that goes for massive events. It goes for some of the weather wars that are going on behind the scenes and some of the plans that are being made to launch attacks on Iran and so on. Lately, we have, in the last 2 months, just launched a new website that's sort of a sister website to Project Camelot called Project Avalon. And you can go there. It's projectavalon.net. We have a forum there, which is actually exploding and taking off in an incredible manner. We have something like 13,000 visitors in the first week or so, and then we're up to 2,000 users at the moment. That's not counting the people that just visit every day, but actual registered users. And it's all about building communities, finding safe places, and networking for the coming days. That includes the future, creating a new future, hopefully a new paradigm from where we are now to up to and beyond 2012. And we don't see 2012 as being just one day. We see we're in the throes of a complete global change and hopefully an emergence of a different consciousness. And the old paradigm is quickly destroying itself, and we plan to replace it, and so we're going to do our bit here. Project Camelot was all about stating the problem, and Project Avalon is all about creating a solution. So we're hoping to continue along those lines. And one of the things with Project Avalon is also that we're making available as resources for building communities and for, you know, eco-friendly communities, anything you need to know to sort of set yourself up and maybe a small group of people in a safe place. There will be earth changes in the future. We're having, you know, some pretty heavy-duty storms, as you're seeing already, and there may be some escalations along that those lines. There certainly are weather wars, so even things that are naturally induced by the Earth itself and some of the planetary and galactic changes that we're going through are going to be aggravated by actual weather technology that's being, I guess you might say, misused by the powers that be, Russia, China, and the U.S. So there's that aspect of things that you also have to be aware of.
So, Carrie, let me ask you a question. This is Doug. Are you saying that the weather issues that we've been having in perhaps recent years or even this year are as a result of the weather manipulation by the government?
Yes.
Powers?
I am. I'm saying that in addition to the natural changes that are going on, and that means, you know, the things going on with the sun, although right now the sun is incredibly quiet, there have been some hits on both sides. There's a lot of thought that the Chinese earthquake was a targeted hit. Ben Fulford has come forward to talk about that. We've got a recorded interview with him. He's also talked about that, I believe, on Rents. It's hard to prove this sort of thing unless you get a black ops person coming forward, and have to say that other than perhaps Tom Bearden, there's not a lot of people out there that are willing to come forward and talk about the weather war side of things.
Well,
that was one incident. The tsunami in Indonesia was apparently possibly caused by an undersea hit, electromagnetic hit.
Well, what's the point? I mean, are they testing, or are they actually targeting these different areas? And if they are, for what purpose?
Well, from what we understand, I mean, you have to sort of go back to Project Camelot and drill down to all the different witnesses. But what it comes down to is the Illuminati agenda. What that encompasses is in the short term, if you want to look at what's called the Iron Mountain Report, and we have had that substantiated by Henry Deacon. We've got a link to it on his on the R site under Henry Deacon, but you can also just do a search on the web for Iron Mountain Report. Basically, that lays out what was the Illuminati agenda, and that started somewhere back in, gosh, I don't know, the 60s at least, and going forward. However, what happened since then is that, and that had to do with population reduction. That was the bottom line, that the Earth was going to become overpopulated, and the people in control, wanted to get rid of what was said to be two-thirds of the population. Henry Deacon, who is one of our witnesses, has come forward and talked about how he was given that report and told to sit down and read it, digest it, and understand that we are the wolves and they are the sheep, and this is what's going on. What is further to that, and this kind of piggybacks on what Bill had been talking about with the timeline changing, which is Dan Burish saying that all bets are off, that the looking glasses have been shut down, that the powers that be no longer theoretically are able to see their future, which was helping them to make decisions, right? They were able to select the best decision for their own ego gratification and therefore move ahead. That all the bets are off at this point with regard to that, although we have to say that this is the party line that we've been given. I have to say that it's possible the powers that be, being fairly devious, and certainly the Vatican is part of all of this, possibly have other means by which to see the future, because it's a technology that was taken from cylinder seals, the Sumerians, and before that from the ETs. It also came, as Bill said, with the crash at either somewhere, either Roswell or Kingman, however, you know, whichever one you want to believe. But all we're saying here is that that timeline, the timeline in which a catastrophe was in the works, nuclear war definitely, and various other things, possibly has been averted. Although I have to say here that recently we've had communication with Dan Burish, in which he stated, and he's put this on his own EaglesDisobey.net forum, he says that the Orion are up above, you know, the Earth, sitting in ships with American, possibly people from, you know, officers from other countries, the secret space program, and they're watching to make sure that indeed the catastrophe does not happen. So they're sort of standing by on the off chance that things could take a really dark turn. Certainly our economy is taking a dark turn at the moment. So,
could you just clarify real quick, even in my own mind, and this may have come out a little bit earlier when I was trying to fix some technical issues, but this catastrophe, is it projected to be a certain time? Are we talking 2012, or what is it? Is there anything about
yes.
that I missed?
Well, I mean, it's the standard end of the Mayan calendar, as Bill kind of outlines the various events, one of which is a pole shift. We have mixed information on this, as you know, because when we created Camelot, it wasn't only about whistleblowers, it became about truth tellers getting word to us from, you know, all kinds of different places. And in fact, we have a scientist who we cannot name, who came forward, who has gone to work for, I think I can say this safely enough, Homeland Security. He was called in to work for them, and he came forward secretly to us and stated that there would be a pole shift. There would be a kill, what I guess Ed Dames has called a kill shot from the sun, and I believe a magnetic pole shift as well. So that he was called forward to work with them to avert these things. So when you're talking about...
Can I step in just to enlarge on that just a little tiny bit, and then I'll hand back to you, Kerry. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. What was interesting, just to anticipate some of the questions that your listeners may answer, is that we got a one-liner email, and we get many, many one-liners from people saying, you know, great job on your site. We really like what you're doing. Good luck to you guys. And we usually, you know, send a reply saying, hey, thanks a bunch. And he signed himself a name of somebody who I recognize. And I got back to him saying, are you who I think you are? who was a name that many of your listeners would recognize. And he said, yes, I am that person. And he was responding to us privately. He hadn't come knocking at our door as a whistleblower. He just said, hey, look, you know, I like your site. And we have had messages like that from a lot of insiders who just like seeing what we're doing, because it does reflect many aspects of the truth and what they see. And we checked out his email address. This is a real guy, and, you know, IP address and all of that kind of verification. So we found ourselves thinking, hey, we're talking to a guy who's a brilliant scientist. We'll just ask him a question or two here. Now, this was 2 years ago, and the time scale is really important because things have changed since then. We said to him, basically, what do you know and what can you tell us about what's coming up? And he said, we're in for a very tough time, and I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. He said there will be three events in the next few years, starting in 2009. He said the first one would be a coronal mass ejection. And he said, to see what I mean, look up the event of 1859, which we did. The event of 1859 is before the electronic era, of course. And this is when the Earth was basically bombarded by a massive fireworks display from the sun, which created auroral displays as far south as the equator in both hemispheres. It was incredibly spectacular, and everyone just saw wonderful sunsets for a little while. But it didn't cause any damage, because this was before the areas of chips, the time of chips and circuits. Now, if this happened now, a lot of stuff would get burned out. We would be okay. We'd see all the fireworks, but we wouldn't be able to talk on Skype. Our cell phones wouldn't work. We wouldn't have TV. We wouldn't have radio. Our cars would stop working because the electronic management systems would burn out. Planes would fall out of the sky. The only things that, well, I mean, actually, that's a bit apocalyptic, that planes might fall out of the sky if the coronal mass ejection was strong enough. And this parallels what Kerry described just now as Ed James having talked about with his remote, made reference to the kill shot. Now, this scientist who contacted us wasn't talking about people getting fried by solar flares, but he was saying there's going to be something here that's going to influence our electronics all over the world. Then he said that there would be a magnetic pole reversal, which we're given to understand is already in progress, and it doesn't affect our everyday lives very much, but it causes whales and dolphins to end up getting lost and beaching themselves in the wrong place, and causes all kinds of interesting effects on our minds, the way that we think, because we're electromagnetic biophysical beings, at least at the physical level. And as the Earth's magnetic field starts to go through its various fluctuations, then we are all affected behaviorally by this, which is very, very, very interesting. As that destabilizes, we destabilize as well, emotionally, at least to some degree, to the degree that, you know, we're spiritual beings operating this body through the interface of our brains, which is an electromagnetic device, essentially. And then finally, he said, a pole shift, you know, less like a kind of slam dunk, you know. And now he said this before the before we got the news from Dan Burish in 2007, as a result of the decommissioning of the Stargates and Looking Glasses, the pole shift had been averted. So this is not contradictory information. It just confirms basically that this was what was on the cards at that time in 2006. And what's really interesting is, you know, how come a brilliant scientist whose name is well known in the public arena is contracted to the Department of Homeland Security? I mean, that's really interesting. And, of course, as an Englishman, I couldn't really understand this at first, but then a number of my American friends helped me to understand that the Department of Homeland Security, this is like a very innocuous name for basically an overriding intelligence organization that's senior to just about everything else and is handling not just issues of immigration and border control, but major, major areas of anything that's related to national security. And it's just got an innocuous name that looks like it was invented by George Orwell. Okay, so that's my enlargement on that.
The thing that's so frightening about that is if all of our electronic systems go down, it's going to disrupt everything globally, the banking system, everything. I mean, that's certainly what's going on now. It's not good. But if we have something of that magnitude, that's going to cause an incredible collapse of just about everything.
Right. Well, actually, Henry Deacon has come forward and has been talking to us about this electromagnetic shot that will happen at some point. And he actually says it will be induced by the powers that be, or could be. And he talks about safeguarding your electronics by wrapping them in aluminum foil and burying them in the dirt. and on top of that, so we've been talked to. I mean, even cars nowadays are run by computers. So you have to understand how far-reaching this really is. And then at the same time, we had Dan Sherman, even before that, come forward and talk about being actually, you know, genetically engineered by the ETs and the U.S. government to be an ET interpreter, trained as an interpreter by the military, and to operate during that time when this unique time when the electromagnetic grid would go down. And It's unclear how long it'll be down for, but one assumes that if you're going to train a group of ET communicators, and one might want to, you know, delve into why you need ET communicators when you have electromagnetic grid shutdown. That means that the powers that be are going to be communicating with the ETs during that time, and they have no other way to do it except psychically with what are in essence trained psychics. And that's what Dan Sherman was. So he rebelled. He became a whistleblower, and you can find his website. I believe it's called aboveblack.com. At any rate, so when we get information, it often becomes substantiated from more than one place. And so this, you know, idea of an electromagnetic breakdown in the grid has been substantiated a number of different from a different angles. People that don't know anything about each other.
Have you guys got any idea as to, any inkling as to how the folks, the powers that be, the Illuminati or whatever, are planning on maintaining their own survival or perpetuating their staying on top of the heat, so to speak?
Well, our understanding, again, is the underground bases is what they provided for themselves. And this fits in with what Dan Biersch talked about in terms of the future humans coming back and saying that a certain group of humanity goes underground. I mean, there are huge underground cities that have been built for the time when the sun would become overactive, for the shift on the planet, if we had such a thing as a pole shift. So all of these things have been provided for, but again, by the powers that be, and they're well aware of it. The trouble is for them, in essence, is that the things that they were planning for don't seem to be in the works anymore for a number of reasons, one of which is that the consciousness on the planet is changing, and that we, because we are co-creators of our own destiny, are able to affect the future of what is happening, and that as humanity wakes up, and this is what our whole quest on Camelot was all about, was to wake up as many people as possible to get on board and know what was really going on, break through the matrix, if you will, such that we can actually change the program. And so that seems to be happening. We've gotten several indications that it is. However, there are also very strong indicators that at the moment we are approaching a very important time, which is right now through the month of October, in which the powers that be may want to do something drastic in order to coalesce their power and to stay afloat, at least in the United States. That would be the neocon faction. And that they apparently, if you listen to our recent audio interview with David Wilcock, he gives a wonderful summation of what went down Georgia, and how the Israelis had planned on an attack to attack Iran from Georgia, and how that plan was actually thwarted, and how the Russians got hip to that. And you have to understand that within the U.S. military and the whole neocon faction, you've also got MJ-12, and you've got elements which are on board with the Illuminati agenda and are trying to make the depopulation through war, through disease, through earth changes, whether they're provoked or allowed to just happen. There's one group like that, and then you also have what is called often by people with the white hats, who will work behind the scenes to try to make sure that these things don't happen the way the powers that be would like them to.
And Carrie, so these white hats are,
apparently they're generals. In the military, there are people like Mike McConnell could be termed a white hat. Certainly by Dan Biersch would be termed a white hat. He's the one who came forward with the national intelligence estimate that basically ruin George Bush's plans to paint Iran as, you know, having nuclear weapons that were,
you
know.
He undermined it, that's sure. Thank God.
Exactly. Now, there are always, you know, there's a punch, counterpunch, as you can imagine. And if you watch the news, you can actually watch this happening in the various reports. As much as controlled as the media is, you can still kind of watch their sort of rollout and read between the lines if you become skilled at it. And if in essence you have kind of the backdrop of what Camelot has investigated, and a numerous other certainly researchers and investigators like Jordan Maxwell, David Icke, both of whom we plan to be interviewing in the next week or so at the UFO Bay Area UFO Conference.
Well, that's interesting stuff here. We're coming up at the top of the hour, so we're going to take a short break here in a minute. Very interesting stuff. Kind of leaves you pondering a lot of things, and definitely need to go spend some time, more time. I've watched some of your videos, but not enough, I don't think. We really appreciate everybody who's taking the time to tune in as well. We appreciate your comments in the chat room. And we are glad you could join us. I do want to mention again, and I'm going to be plugging it all night, we just launched a new site that's part of the main Paranexus site. The main Paranexus site is paranexus.org. We've just launched a new one, paranexus.net, which is a new database of anomalous events. And so it's there for researchers to submit event reports. Paranexus members are able to submit them directly to the database, and it allows people to search the database for all kinds of different phenomena and across fields. So you can search for a phenomena that might be occurring in the field of ufology or cryptozoology or parapsychology or various fields. So we're trying to get the word out, get people to start submitting some reports so we can build up that database, and hopefully it will be a great resource that we can learn some new things. So take a look at paranexus.net. Also want to remind everybody that we've got our conference coming up in Tampa on October 25th. It's going to be Saturday only. We have listened to some of your feedback. We realize the economy is poor right now and money's tight and jobs are being lost, et cetera. So we were able to shorten it down to one day without losing any of our workshops, and that allowed us to save money, which means we were able to reduce the registration fee down to $59 for the entire day. We've got about 11, I believe it is, workshops, plus the Spirits and Shadows Ball. We're going to have a live table tipping demonstration. One of those workshops involves how to use table tipping in the course of paranormal research. We've got some workshops on the psychology of paranormal research, that is with the clients. Grant's doing a program on apparition or hallucination, about the psychology and some of the different disorders, affective disorders that can play a role in paranormal research. So if you are looking for a conference where you can learn something, where you're not just after a bunch of autographs, this is the one to come to. Paranexus Conference in October in Tampa, Florida, October 25th. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a fun day, a place to network, and a place to learn. So hopefully you can join us there. And we've got just a little over 30 days. So if you're planning on going, get in on the registration thing, because time's a-wasting here. And with all registrations before October 15th, we're also going to add, I believe it's a year, onto your Paranexus membership. Now, as you may have noticed, Paranexus memberships are $30 a year, so that's a $30 value. And we encourage you to come into the Paranexus forum, especially our members, and talk about different things. And let's kick it up a little bit. A lot of things happening with Paranexus that we're proud of, so be a part of it. If you'll hang with us, we're going to be back with Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy of Project Camelot. And so hang tough. We'll be back in just a few.
West Georgia Paranormal Research Society is composed of individuals with a common goal, the scientific investigation of the paranormal. It is our hope that these investigations will allow those of us in the paranormal community to bring about answers that will benefit us, as well as helping to educate the general public. We approach all investigations and questions with the utmost professionalism and confidentiality required for the situation. If you are experiencing strange occurrences around your home or place of business, such as unexplained noises, smells, or visual phenomenon, these could be possible signs of paranormal activity. If you're interested in finding some answers to these questions, or if you'd like to have our team investigate the activity, visit us at www.wgprs.com for more information. Research, assistance, understanding. We're here to help you.
Where will you find a professional association of paranormal researchers?
Paranexus.org.
Where can you get research training, share data, and network with other researchers?
Paranexus.org.
Where will you find a set of international standards for paranormal research groups?
Paranexus.org.
Paranexus is a global professional association of progressive paranormal investigators, parapsychologists, cryptozoologists, ufologists, and psychically gifted individuals focused on understanding the human condition through the scientific study of paranormal and psychical phenomena. And coming October 2008 to Tampa, Florida, the Paranexus Conference, a learning and networking event unlike any you've attended. Join us for 2 full days of innovative paranormal workshops. Participate in the Paranexus Challenge, where several teams will investigate a secret haunted location, observe a live table-tipping session at the stroke of midnight. Join us for the Spirits and Shadows Costume Ball. See old friends, meet new friends, win prizes, and have fun.
Paranexus.org.
A place to learn, a place to share, a place to network, a place to come together. Join us now at Paranexus.org.
And welcome back, everybody. We're in our second hour tonight. This is Doug Kelly here with Grant Rubin. That was an interesting conversation, huh, Grant?
Absolutely. Welcome, everybody. We're happy to have you, and we'll be taking your calls. We welcome your calls and any questions you might have in the chat room.
Sounds good. And we're, of course, talking with Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Where do we want to go now?
Well, what's going to be coming up in the near future?
Oh boy!
Your data.
Right. What's going to be coming up in the near future? Let us start with an anecdote. It's one of these little anecdotes that's quite a good place to start. This is an email that we got 2 days ago, and it was on the back of a whole bunch of emails that we got a little bit earlier on in the summer from somebody, a regular person. And there are a lot of regular people who are very alert and aware, who follow our work, watch our site, and who know people in high places, or in the intelligence agencies, let us say. We were first contacted by this person in July. He said that he had a friend in the alphabet agencies who we had reason to believe was fairly senior, who said that if they were going to be deployed to the Middle East, then war would be a done deal, unquote. And we heard this we were told that this contact's friend who worked for one of the alphabet agencies had told our contact that if they were to be deployed to the Middle East, that meant that war was, quote, a done deal, that war was a certainty,
Right.
I'm just quoting that because those were the words.
That is war with Iran, to clarify that.
Yeah. And we got an email 2 days ago saying that this guy had been deployed to the Middle East.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
So,
actually, he's being deployed this week. It was a few days ago, so it was next week, and now it's this week. So, we have a blog on the front of Project Camelot that we now keep, because one of the things we realized that we had to do was to take the backlog of information that we have as Camelot and help people to use that to interpret news events that are going on, and also to be able to report other whistleblowers and people that report information to us that's not long enough for, say, an interview or even a whole page, but sometimes very key information telling people what's happening and what may be happening very soon. So that's our blog on the first page of Project Camelot. So it's a good place to check in and see what's really new. But to continue, Bill, why don't you tell how the information about October is actually starting to really stack up?
Yeah, it's starting to stack up. And the analogy that I use is that of data points on a graph. It's like if you are collecting information and you're plotting it on a graph, and I say this because I'm a trained scientist quite a long time back, that if you get data clustering, then it means something. This is not random. You start to see a shape forming. You start to see trends forming. And we've seen this data clustering pointing towards October for quite a while. And this email that we got just a couple of days ago is just the latest confirmation. It's like, oh, okay, the guy's gone to the Middle East. You know, oh, you know, what does this mean? I won't swear, but I did when I saw the email. To go back, now this is interesting because there are a lot of interesting points that come to this. We were contacted in May 2007, that's pretty much 18 months ago now, by somebody who was, we weren't contacted directly, but we were contacted by an intermediary from somebody who was associated with one of the Montauk projects, who was involved in the Montauk project in 1984. And this is another whole area which you can do a two-hour show on, just that alone. The Montauk projects, we are assured were real. They were to do with time travel, time manipulation, all the mess of stuff that I was talking about in the first hour. And this guy, in 1984, one of the things that they were doing is they were messing around, as I was describing, using technology that they barely understood with fixing up, manipulating, and peering into over the time horizon into future timelines. And this guy said that for years he had been talking about what he recalled from that project, that in 2007, 2008, there would be two main markers of that time period, one of which would be food riots. Okay? And we got this, as I said, in May 2007. We didn't publish this information because we didn't believe him. We thought, food riots? People are going to think we're crazy. But we sat on that information. The other component of what he said, besides the food riots, was he made reference to what he called the King George scenario. And this is 1984. And King George refers to George Bush. They knew about him as the future president in 1984, 16 years before he was elected. And they called it the King George scenario because kings aren't elected. Kings get to stay in power all the time, and they never step down after 8 years. The King George scenario, apparently, was that some event would occur before George Bush, before his term of office was ended, that would actually create the need, or the false need, the fake need, or whatever, for him to stay in power. And we're still waiting for this. Okay. This may or may not happen because timelines do change. But in the metaphor told us by another one of our witnesses, Jim Sparks, who is a multiple, almost all the time, fully conscious abductee, who was told a whole bunch of stuff by his abductors and shown some pretty alarming pictures of a potential Earth future, he was given to understand that time is like a huge river. You think about, like, you know, the Nile or the Mississippi or the Amazon. It's just like this giant river that's just flowing along, and we're flowing down it. And it flows in a direction. And you can change the flow of this river with enough energy, but it's always going to want to keep on flowing in the direction which it has been. You can change it, but it's not easy. And if you just lob a few rocks into it, it's not going to make any difference. It needs to be a big time change. And you can even divert it, but it still wants to flow back in the direction which it was flowing in the first place. It's kind of got its own inertia. And so, you know, we're watching to see whether this timeline has changed. In the meantime, our contact is expecting this to happen. Now, more stories here, because I was talking to Henry Deacon about this. Henry Deacon is our Black Ops insider source that we were talking about in the first hour. He knew about timelines, he knew about the future human stuff, he knew about the Roswell catastrophe because of the time device that was recovered in the crash, which then they started tinkering with to create all these time loops and paradoxes that have not yet been resolved. I said to him, I was talking to him about what Dan Beerish referred to as Timeline 1 version 83 and saying, you know what, at least the timeline has changed because it doesn't look like Hillary is going to be president. You know, it would. I said, you know, she's off the ticket, she's not even the vice presidential candidate to Obama. This isn't, you know, this is not going to happen. Henry said, you know what, I feel really uneasy about this because of something I read many years ago. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, you know, I can't remember, but he said, I read this. He said, I read that Hillary was off the ticket, but something really weird would happen and she would end up back on the ticket again, and it was connected with the election being postponed for a couple of months. I just had these chills going down my spine.
No kidding.
Now, no, I'm just reporting a conversation that I had, and Henry could not remember the details because, as happens with many people behind the curtain of Black Ops, they're exposed to documents, they're exposed to plans. Some of these things do change, but the thing that is so hard to believe and so alarming to believe is that many of these global events are orchestrated and choreographed years or even decades before. Carol Rosin, who we don't know and we haven't talked to, but many of your listeners will know, who worked closely with Wernher von Braun, went on record with the Disclosure Project as saying that she learnt about the invasion of Iraq in 1991, Operation Desert Storm, back in the 1970s. She sat in on meetings where this was being planned and discussed. The whole thing is being choreographed right from the beginning. That's just one little example. And so we're left with this snippet of extraordinary information that Henry's saying, you know what, just watch out, because if something weird happens, the election is postponed, Hillary's back on the ticket. The reason why I made reference to what Jim Spark said about the flow of time being like a giant river, you can divert it, but you better keep it in place with a lot of energy, otherwise it's going to try and head back where it's flowing, where it wants to flow in the first place, like water flowing downhill. If Hillary is on the ticket, there's good reason to believe that we're all in a great deal of trouble, because what happens all that after that is a whole bunch of nuclear exchanges. Now we've got George Green, who we haven't yet spoken about in this conversation. George Green, for those of your viewers who, the listeners who don't know him, he was an ex-Air Force engineer, he was in banking, he was in construction, he was in politics, he has a lot of friends in high places, and he is also somebody who has been in contact with the Pleiadians and other extraterrestrial sources for quite a number of years. He has a very unique resume, as it were, and he's been talking about this stuff for quite a while. One of the things that inspired us to create Project Avalon was because George Green said that in his communications that he has received from the Pleiadians being off-planet, human-appearing, benevolent extraterrestrials, maybe they come from another place in time, we don't know, but he gets a lot of information from them. He said that it's almost too late. This is what he said, almost too late. And he made references to a bunch of people that he calls the ground crew. He wrote a little book, which he almost took, he almost kind of took this book by dictation, which is available on his website for free. It's called Messages for the Ground Crew.
Do you have the URL for that?
Yes, it's called nomorehoaxes.com.
Okay.
Nomorehoaxes.com.
There's actually a set of three books. Another one's called Embracing the Rainbow. Another one's called Handbook for the New Paradigm. The first one he wrote, or with the aid of the Pleiarians, is Handbook for the New Paradigm. And that was the one that actually talked about people getting ready, moving into rural areas, establishing small communities. Basically, what we're attempting to do now with Project Avalon to provide a network where that sort of thing can happen. But I have to say this book was written several years ago, so he was way ahead of the curve. And now what his communicators are telling him is that the time has actually passed for educating people, that we are getting very close to the time when these events would actually start to happen. And they do talk about a war behind the scenes between their faction, the Pleiarians, and various other benevolent ETs and the negative-oriented entities that are out there working with the U.S. military, among other groups, certainly the Vatican. So you see there's a scenario behind the scenario that you actually have to keep in mind. But at any rate, we are getting information, and George is one of the people that has been talking about the whole economic downturn. He has predicted this very accurately. What is happening here this month, we were told September would be the month. And sure enough, it appears to be when the economy would begin to crash very seriously. We had been told by him a year ago to put all our money in gold or silver and get it out of the market. We followed his advice. Most of the time it was really good advice. I have to say that unfortunately the powers that be seem to be hitting the gold and silver markets very seriously for the last month, which was another indicator that something big was coming along, because they were driving down the price of gold, one might think, so that they could, I guess, get into the market and then be prepared for what's happening right now, in which gold and silver are now starting to go back up. We've got Michael St. Clair also talking about these sorts of things, by the way. So what is happening, what we're looking at right now is information we're getting from a lot of different sources, and it all is coming together around the month of October, basically saying that in the month of October, there seems to be some event that seems to want to be taking place. It's not going to be a positive event. I wish I could say it was. But it will have something to do with either postponing the election or making it such that the neocons will get their sort of agenda back on track after their sort of debacle of Georgia. And we don't know what the event is, so we can't actually say anything about too much about that.
Was there anything about Hawkeye, Kerry? Tell me about Hawkeye, our source.
Okay, well, Hawkeye is sort of a whistleblower from within the Illuminati. He calls them the Roths. and he says that I have to be very careful as to how much detail I go into, because we do want to protect him. We've published a lot of information from him on our blog, again, which is on Project Camelot, the front page, .org. And he was basically telling us all the same things that Henry Deacon was telling us, that we were getting from other sources, George Green, a number of other deep black sources. And he's a very interesting guy. He's written us, I think, for the past year, and we've got, you know, a huge score of emails from him, basically telling us it's getting closer, the time's getting closer, their agenda is being rolled out. His point of view is that whatever the White Hats are trying to do, they're actually not going to be successful. I have to say that because of his position, because he feels so oppressed, if you will, he's, you know, heavily monitored. He used to work for the Illuminati. Basically, he's had to buy into their scenario. He believes their power is pretty much a done deal.
He specifically said that there would be a major event that he said, basically, I mean, he used very dramatic language. He said it would be the coup d'etat for the human race, and he said this would be in the first 10 days of October.
Right, and this is what's weird about that is that there's also this half-past human website that's also doing data mining on the web, using language and computers to create. I guess they've been doing a whole layout, like a graph of where people are at in certain events, and they did it for 9/11. They predicted accurately the recent resignation within a day of Musharraf. We are hoping to possibly interview them. I know they've been interviewed by Rents, but there's a lot of information on their site about October. I have another little ingredient that just came to us recently, which is the Arlington Institute has apparently been alerted somehow. And they're a think tank, one would say, for certain factions of the American government, certainly, in which they are collecting now data and asking for dreams and visions of people pertaining to the month of October. So we're getting such a coalition of evidence and information from so many different sources about this particular time span. I myself have had a dream. A prophetic dream, if you will. We're going to be interviewing Miriam Delgado, who has a website called alienbluestar.com, and she is a contactee from the Pleiarians as well, and she has been getting information about October. So we don't know what the event is. We do know that it could be something to do with postponing the election. We have heard that it is some kind of massive event on the order of a 9/11 type of thing. However, we don't know what.
All right, let's just take a break. Let's work out this noise. We're getting some noise. Not sure if it's a mic, not sure if it's typing, but if just check your stuff and see if it's anybody. Let me ask either one of you about this catastrophe. Is it just sometime in October? Is that what you're getting or hearing? Or, you know, you getting anything about that? Is that what I'm understanding here?
Well, we have to say that we're not getting a specific date.
Well, you're hearing it. Well,
Human is saying that they've charted it down to actually a date, which is October 7th.
Okay.
What we are getting is that it's sometime in the month of October.
Okay.
And so that there is a buildup that has already begun.
But having said that, our source Hawkeye specifically said the first 10 days of October, which is an alarming correlation in itself.
Which is really interesting, guys, because if you look at the developments that have been going on, it was in the news today about Iran has once again, you know, thumbed their nose at the European community about nuclear testing or proceeding with, you know, developing their nuclear abilities. And then, of course, we have the Pakistanis being very upset with the Americans who are launching commando raids into Pakistan. It just seems like, you know, maybe the pieces are falling into place here, you know, and especially in light of what's been going on in Georgia as well.
All right, we've got a call that we're going to take here. I believe it's coming in off the site, so they're listening now. And caller, if you could give us your name and ask your question, then we'll release you to hear the answer. And give a second. Welcome, you're on the air. What's your name? Hello, you with us? I guess they hung up.
Sounds like we lost them.
All right, so much for that idea. All right.
Well, you guys had asked us during the break that if we could talk about why we're being able to get information out there,
you know,
and if we've been attacked in any way.
And that's a great question. Let's hang on to that one for just a moment. We're coming down to the bottom of the hour, the last half hour. We're going to have, man, this time has gone fast. Jeepers. Interesting stuff. Folks, we're going to take a break in just a moment. We're going to come back and talk about that very question and continue our discussion. If you do want to call in, give us a call. You can either click that click to talk button on your screen in our radio listening page, or you can call in from any phone, 347-945-7799. If you've got a question, you can also ask it in the chat room, and we will get to those as well. I know there's at least one question hanging in the balance. Now, if your question has not been answered and you had asked it previously, if you will please restate it in the chat room, and we will get to those just after the break. But we are talking with Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy of Project Camelot. Their website is projectcamelot.net. Is that correct?
Yes, or .org.
Oh, you're .org. Okay, I apparently had the wrong one. Okay, .org. And
actually,
you have Project...
it's either one, so
okay,
that's cool.
Okay, good enough. And you also have Project Avalon. Is that a .org or...?
.net.
Okay, that's a .net. All right, very good. Interesting discussion. If you will hang tough, we will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Doug Kelly, founder of the Spirit Team. We perform professional paranormal research and investigations at no charge to you. If you are experiencing mysterious events in your home or business, please contact us. We maintain your privacy, and we won't think you're crazy. And if you're a paranormal researcher, we offer an accredited certification course that will enhance your knowledge of the paranormal field and raise credibility with your clients. For more information, please visit our website at spiritteam.org. That's spiritteam with one T, .org.
Is there a suppression of UFO and alien information by our government?
Does the soul continue on after we die?
Climb aboard the black ship of paranormal radio with your host, Captain Jack, on Contact Talk Radio and KRWM 106.9 FM HD3. Or visit WPRTradio.com for more information.
Where will you find a professional association of paranormal researchers?
Paranexus.org.
Where can you get research training, share data, and network with other researchers?
Paranexus.org.
Where will you find a set of international standards for paranormal research groups?
Paranexus.org.
Paranexus is a global professional association of progressive paranormal investigators, parapsychologists, cryptozoologists, ufologists, and psychically gifted individuals focused on understanding the human condition through the scientific study of paranormal and psychical phenomena. And coming October 2008 to Tampa, Florida, the Paranexus Conference, a learning and networking event unlike any you've attended. Join us for two full days of innovative paranormal workshops. Participate in the Paranexus Challenge, where several teams will investigate a secret haunted location, observe a live table tipping seance at the stroke of midnight. Join us for the Spirits and Shadows Costume Ball. See old friends, meet new friends, win prizes, and have fun.
Paranexus.org.
A place to learn, a place to share, a place to network, a place to come together. Join us now at Paranexus.org.
sky. It's Paranexus Universe.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Doug Kelly with Grant Rubendust. We're having a very interesting and fascinating conversation with Phil Ryan and Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot. Their websites are projectcamelot.org and projectavalon.net. Did I get those two right?
That's correct.
Okay, good. And on projectavalon.net, there is a discussion forum where you can learn more, so be sure and visit those sites to learn more. Bill and Carrie, we were talking before the break about, with all this work that you've done and everything, you know, the impact or maybe even any threats, if you've had any, or if you want to pick up on that, Carrie, I think you were talking about before the break.
Okay. Well, basically, we're very lucky, and we do feel protected. It's an interesting thing to think about as to where our protection's coming from. Certainly, there is the faction, as we said, of the White Hats. There's a group in America, part of MJ-12, probably what is really called the Committee of the Majority, or whatever they want to go by right now, that is in favor of what we're doing because they're interested in getting the word out for the time when people will be aware, because there will be no hiding, you know, if these plans, any of the plans, come to pass with population reduction, any of the global events that they've been working towards all these years. In essence, there will be a time in which they will be attacked. And even George Green says his CIA contacts are all moving to South America right now. Bush has established, I guess, a huge, massive amount of land in Paraguay. So they're afraid of what they're looking for is amnesty. And the only way they're going to get anything remotely like amnesty once the people are really woken up is by people like us putting the word out and educating people such that they can turn around and say, well, we did let information out there. You know, we were keeping secrets for your national security or whatever, but gradually we did allow these people to get the word out. And so Project Camelot's probably part of somewhat part of that effort that's being allowed. The other thing is that we also believe there's a faction that is protecting us, period. We don't know exactly who, but we have been told by certain people that that may be the case. On the other hand, we have hierarchy.
Okay, everybody, we dialed back into Blog Talk Radio. If you're able to now hear us, would you please say so in the chat room? And we will continue our show. We've only got a few minutes left. We've got about 13 or 12 or 13 minutes left, so we're going to continue the show, and it will be available on the archive. So we are talking with Project Camelot, Bill Ryan, Carrie Cassidy, and in the remaining time that we have, what would you like to say? What message would you really like to get out there? And I do have a question after you go.
Interesting question. Okay. Let me just say a couple of things, and maybe Carrie can build on what I said. First of all, I'm a Brit, as you can tell. And during the Second World War, the Brits experienced something which they called the spirit of the Blitz. And the spirit of the Blitz was the community spirit that arose spontaneously in London when it was being bombed by the Germans. The authorities didn't have to do as much as they might have had to do because the citizens did it themselves. The citizens took care of each other, they took care of each other's medical needs, they took each other into their homes when their homes had been wrecked, they put out fires, they provided food and water for each other. The community spirit was incredibly strong, and this is, you know, if you don't mind my waving our Union Jack here, this is one of the reasons, with American help, of course, the Nazis were defeated. Now, we're more vulnerable now than we ever have been before, because that community spirit in the days of the internet, where people are partially connected by electronic technology but also partially disconnected by it, we're living in an age where we don't know our neighbors, we don't know the people who live on the, you know, on the other side of that anonymous door, on the other side of the corridor in our apartment block. We don't really live in communities in the way that we used to. We're much more isolated, we're much more mobile. Even the family unit isn't as strong as it used to be. And this is our weakness. And to go back to Project Camelot, what we're trying to do there is we're trying to rekindle the spirit of the community, because that would be the strength if times become tough. We're much more likely to be able to have a smooth ride through whatever the next few years brings at us if we know who our neighbors are, if we are in touch with our families, if we forget our little squabbles and we learn how to work together with people who maybe we might have trivial disagreements with or who we decide we don't like. And these communities don't have to be avant-garde communities like, you know, FinTorn or Esalen or Dallin Her or any of these other places. It could be a street or it could be a district of a city, or it could be a small bunch of people in an area who know that they can count on each other if things are difficult. And this is what George Green, who I was talking about half an hour ago, referred to when he talked about the ground crew, that there's some people out there who will not listen to any of these problems. They won't be woken up. Mm-hmm. I mean them no disrespect, but they're not awake and alert to what is happening. But other people are. And the people who are listening to the show, by default, these will be those people who are at the front line and who are listening. They're thinking, what can I do? What can I do? Now, everyone's situation is different. On Project Avalon, which we formed so that we could create solutions, we have a forum which has exploded into the most extraordinary activity, thousands of members in just a few days. And there are people there are whole threads on this forum which are devoted to groups getting together, people saying, hey, listen, I'm in Idaho, who else is in Idaho? Or I'm in New Zealand, who else is in New Zealand? You know, or I'm in the Bronx and I'm stuck here, is there anyone else in New York? So I want to know who you are, because I want to know who I can trust. And these people are getting together, they're forming groups, they're forming networks, they're making plans, they're establishing meeting places. And this doesn't have to be like negative, catastrophic thinking, because these are good things to happen, even if nothing bad goes down. And so to some degree, it is about a renaissance. It is about a reconnection. It is about people connecting with each other and rebuilding the kind of society and the kind of networking that we, you know, that is a sign of a healthy society. It's a time when our society is not as healthy as it used to be in the past. And if these threats of geopolitical events spur us on into talking to people who we've forgotten how to talk to, then that's actually no bad thing. And the other thing I want to say, much more briefly than I had just said, is that we create our own future. As the Buddhists say, we're dreamers that are dreaming each other's dreams. All of this is a very solid-looking dream that we find ourselves in. And the future is not written in stone, despite all this high technology that we were talking about to do with timelines and timeline predictions. There's just probabilities and possibilities. And we can create any future that we want, any future that we choose. And we human beings have the ability to do this. Before I hand over to Kerry, I just want to say just one very, very brief thing. That Bill Burns, who is the editor of UFO magazine and a very well-respected UFO researcher, at the end of his life, he interviewed Admiral George Hoover before he died, who worked for the Office of Major...
Bill Burns didn't die, Major Hoover.
Admiral Hoover died.
Right, Admiral. Okay.
And before he died, Admiral Hoover told Bill Burns what all this secrecy was really all about. And it was really fascinating. Because it's like, well, okay, so some guys crashed in 1947 and they had a weird aircraft and they looked a bit funny. And why is this a secret? You know, why is... And Bill Burns was told by Hoover that it's not about the visitors. It's not about their technology. It's not even about the information that they brought with them about our future and about other things. He said that the biggest secret is the fact that we human beings are more powerful than we have ever dreamed that we are. That is the biggest secret. We don't know our own power. And the powers that be don't want us to know our power, and we are being kept in the dark. We are being educated that we are animated hunks of meat who are here by accident with no spiritual heritage, no purpose, no meaning to our lives, and that this is not true. And that if the secret got out, then it would be so easy to end this game that's been in place for thousands of years with the Illuminati, these Luciferian Satanists who are running the show. They want us to believe that we are powerless, and we are not powerless, and that's the message that I want to leave your audience. So I'm going to step down from my soapbox there, and Kerry can have the last few words.
Hi, yeah, I have to say that that's absolutely what we believe in and how we try to live our lives. What is most important is to reach a ratio of the number of awake minds on the planet that have broken free of the matrix and who begin to understand what powerful co-creators we are. And then all we have to do is unite with a vision for the positive future that we'd like to see for ourselves. And that's when we will begin to change and turn the tide. And I have to say that I think what's happening now is that that's actually what's going on. And we hope that Project Camelot and Project Avalon are all part of that scenario, which is unfolding, because our planet is going through a major consciousness change. And we are changing dimensions. We are going from the third through the fourth and into the fifth. We are entering a place where we can create whatever we think. Therefore, be careful what you think. Be careful what you desire, because you will see it manifest quite instantly. And so this is part of a new future that we have at our fingertips, really. And what is happening with the timelines that we've been describing, and the fact that suddenly all bets are off and that suddenly they change so quickly that plans that have been in place for years and years by the powers that be and their minions, which is just average people being, you know, feeling that they are powerless, giving their power over to the ruling class and allowing them to manipulate them, if they take their power back and begin to rethink what it is we're doing here on the planet, because this is a grand experiment. And the reality is that we are all spiritual beings, much far beyond our physical bodies.
Well, you know, excellent information. We are now down to less than 2 minutes remaining. And, wow, you know, a lot of stuff to think about, a lot of information. And you guys have just been incredible. Let me repeat the websites, projectcamelot.org and projectavalon.net, for a forum of discussions on similar topics, these same topics and others. Please visit the websites there that Bill and Carrie have. Donate to their cause, help them to continue their work. And we also invite you to visit Paranexus.org for a professional association of paranormal researchers, as well as our new database, Paranexus.net, that's going to catalog all kinds of stuff. So take a look. We don't have a lot of time remaining. Also want to invite you to the Paranexus Conference on April 25th, provided the world is still here. And we'd love to see you network and learn some new stuff. We really want to say thank you to all of our listeners. I think we blew away our highs from before. We have an awesome lot of listeners tonight, an amazing number. We really appreciate you taking your time. Hopefully you will join us next week, too. I believe we have Linda Fell on, a psychic medium, and she's going to talk about paranormal research and how to make the most of it and how to help people. So it will also be an interesting program there. Grant, amazing, huh?
Absolutely. And Bill and Carrie, it was a real pleasure to have you on the show. And, you know, if time permits, we'd certainly like to have you come back in the future to continue putting the message out there. The work that you do is wonderful and truly appreciated. I wish I could share with you all the comments, wonderful comments we got in the chat room about how much folks appreciate the hard work that you do. So thank you so very much. It's been a real, real pleasure. And, you know, we'd like to get together with you folks again sometime.
Yes, and if you will hang on with us for just a moment, we are at the end of our rope here on the program. Folks, thanks again so much. You have a great night. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.
It's Paranexus Universe.